Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Gospel of John. As we continue there with Gospel of John, chapter 2. We're going to start with the first verse. Read the first 11 verses here. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. "Now, draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then cheaper wine after the guests that had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your blessings this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, we ask now that you would send your Holy Spirit to guide us as we study this passage, that we might take your truths from it. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I speak, it might be indeed your truth and your words that flow forward. That which is of my flesh or of the world, Lord, might it be swept away. Now, Father, we give you our full attention. We give you all this. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this passage, I will confess to you, I have never in my life sat under anybody who ever preached this passage previously. Maybe one of you have. I haven't. So, and this is the first time I've preached this passage. It's been one that's ignored. You'll especially find that in evangelical churches, because wine, come on, let's be serious here now. That's really, real Christians don't drink wine, right? They don't drink booze. They don't have anything to do with that stuff. And you know, the wine that Jesus drank miraculously, the alcohol all disappeared as it passed his lips. Maybe you've heard some of those messages. I'm here to tell you today that's not what happened. That's not what's going on here. It is not something that hasn't been addressed because it's not important. It's something that hasn't been addressed because there are things here that make evangelical Christians uncomfortable. Now, the Catholics and the Episcopals and the Lutherans and those people who, you know, use wine and don't seem to have in their communion, they don't seem to have any problem with it. Larry was telling me about one Catholic priest that got pulled over driving erratically, and the officer said, "Well, what have you had to drink?" He said, "Water." And he said, "Well, what's that? Can I check your car?" He said, "Sure." And he looked around. "Well, there's an empty wine bottle sitting there." "Well, is this what you're drinking?" He said, "That Jesus, he did it again." Turn the water into wine. Well, why would Jesus have turned water to wine? Let's look at that. First thing is, I want you to recognize wine, alcohol, is not in and of itself evil. That's it, folks. It's not bad. God created it. It's not a terrible thing. The abuse of it, however, is a whole other story. We use alcohol in medicines. Alcohol in drinks as a preservative. Many things. It's wonderful. But the enemy is a perverter and a destroyer. He takes that which God meant for good and he turns it for evil. Trust me, the evangelical church would not be here if they dealt with sexual immorality the same way they dealt with the abuse of alcohol. Think about that. Children's church wouldn't be. She said, can't have it, period. Abstinence. But yet we've done so with the alcohol. Now, I'm not sitting up here telling you it's okay to go out and get plastered. That's not what I'm talking about here. But wine and strong drink is an evil. And God is in favor of the institution of marriage. And God is in favor of celebrating that which is worth celebrating. And a marriage, the union of two to become one, is something which He has decreed is worthy of celebration. And it's okay to have wine at that celebration and to drink a fair amount of it. Now, He didn't say it was okay to then to get in your chariot and drive down the street and run over people. Now, we have an entirely different society than what was back then. I mean, people, they went to the party, they stayed there. They didn't leave. Or if they did leave, where they went to was, you know, a couple blocks down the street and they walked. Okay? So we look at those societal differences. But here we have Jesus at this wedding. And they've had a lot to drink. Why have they had a lot to drink? Because it was the custom of the day that the bride and groom provide the food and the beverage for their guests. Now, we still do that today. Sometimes we do it through our parents. But ultimately, you know, it's the bride and groom who are throwing the party. I mean, it's their party. And they're providing the beverages, the food. And when you run out, it's kind of an embarrassing thing, you know. There's nothing there to drink. Oh, really? You know, this was like my sister's wedding. Her cake caught on fire. Okay? It was a beautiful cake. They had candles by it and had this trellis that went up. And the thing went up in flames. Okay? We still talk about it. Now, when something happens at an event like this, people talk about it for years. They would have run out of wine to drink. It was something that would never leave this couple. Oh, yeah, I remember your wedding. Mm-hmm. Went home a little thirsty. Well, Jesus' mother saw the issue and knew that her son could do something about it. So she asked him to. And he says, "Dear woman, why are you bothering me? My time has not yet come." Basically telling her, you know, "Mom, I'm grown up now. As a matter of fact, you happen to know I'm on a mission from Dad. And, you know, you don't tell me what to do anymore." She's like, "Fine." You know, it's a very polite way of saying that. But that's what he said, basically. And she, like any other mother, said, "Fine. Don't worry, he'll help you." More than willing to offer the services of her son. I'm, as a father, I'm more than willing to offer the services of my sons. Anybody, do any of you need the use of one of them? You ask, and I will be more than happy to offer. It's just a something that parents do. But yet, Jesus' mother didn't want that albatross hung around the neck of this young couple of having run out of wine. Because it wasn't time for the party to be finished yet. They weren't done celebrating. And it's okay to celebrate in appropriate places for the appropriate thing, in appropriate manner. Now, as Jesus gives his instructions to the servants and tells them to go fill those water jugs, which were quite large. Again, they held between 20 and 30 gallons apiece. There's six of them, so we're talking about a minimum of 120 gallons of wine or something. I mean, that's a lot. At least 120 gallons of wine, and they had the habit of mixing the wine with water, make it go farther so you didn't get sick later. As he was doing this, I keep coming back to why water to wine? That's the question I'm asking. Why did Jesus do that? It wasn't just because he was being nice to this couple. Maybe they were friends of his mother's. That's not enough of a reason for Jesus to perform a miracle, for him to do this, just to keep somebody from having a social faux pas. The purpose of a miracle, remember, I've told you this one before, is to do what? Please, somebody? No? Sign, thank you. A miracle is a big sign that says, God, over here. A miracle is nothing more, nothing less than a sign that points to God, gives glory to God. Ultimately, it's a roadmap. It's a road marker that says, this way to God. So, for Jesus to do that, there has to be a sign to somebody. Who? Two major groups. First off, those who knew that he did this, because most of the people didn't. This wasn't something that he did flash and dash in front of everybody. But his disciples knew, the servants there knew, and we know. Trust me, Jesus knew that we would come along and we would study this passage and see this. And we would see things 2,000 years later and think things that people at the time never would. So what we see here is that Jesus tells us right here a little bit about what's going to happen in the future. We see ties between the actions here and the actions 3 years later. See, there are similarities between this time at the beginning of his ministry and the time at the end. Now, he uses the phrase, dear woman, twice. He says, dear woman, here at this wedding. And he also calls his mother, dear woman. This is the only time he uses that phrase, dear woman, to his mother when he's on the cross. He said, dear woman, here is your son. When he gave him over into the Apostle John's care. So we have that tie. Then we have the tie with the wine itself. Here there is wine at the wedding, the celebration, the coming of the bridegroom. Here, at the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, at the time of crucifixion, we have the cup. We have the Last Supper. We have the wine of the cup, the Passover, which we celebrate at communion. See? We have those times. And then we just have the wedding itself. Here we have the wedding and the celebration of the uniting of the bridegroom and the bride. And then we see that the bridegroom is coming. And that at the cross, Jesus did the work that would cleanse His bride, us, the church. For Him. Now, these might be kind of, well, aren't you screeching just a little bit, Pastor? And I'm just going to say, well, you know, we just kind of put that up there and look at it. And say, boy, these are interesting similarities. I don't want to draw too much from it. Okay? I'm not going to build a whole lot upon that. But boy, that's real, real interesting to see those similarities. I don't believe that's all coincidence. But again, there's not a whole lot there I can build upon or draw from. But there is something that goes on here in this act that I can draw from, that really just jumps out when you really look at it. What Jesus did is He told the servants, fill those water jugs with water. And they did, and they filled them to the brim. They just didn't fill them half full, three quarters full, nine tenths full, but full to the brim. And they filled them with water. There was no room for anything else to be added. They were full of water. Yet when they took a sample of it to the master of the feast, the guy who's in charge of making sure everybody gets fed and taken care of, they took it to this guy. And he said, hey, this is the good wine. You know, most people are pulling out the cheap stuff at this time, but you're raising the level of celebration here. This is wine. Excellent, wonderful wine. Not just okay wine or so-so, but excellent wine. Have you seen it yet? What's happened here? There's been a transformation. A transformation from water to wine. Now there is water in wine, yes? Christopher, my youngest, is in chemistry. And he's been asking me questions about some chemical experiments they've been doing at school. They're trying to take and distill alcohol from out of water. And he's trying to figure out how to get the alcohol out of the water. They have this mixture. Well, there wasn't any alcohol in there before. There wasn't any grape juice. I mean, how do you make wine? Anybody here ever see anybody make wine or have relatives that did it or done it themselves or something? You take some fruit juice and a few ingredients, other ingredients, usually some yeast of some sort or something, maybe add some heat, maybe not, depending upon the different processes, different ways of doing it. But you have to have more than just water. If you just put water in a wine cask and leave it sit for a while, what do you get? Water. Warm water, but it's still water. But when Jesus had the servants put in there, it was transformed from water to wine. People, when you take and make something, add something to something where there wasn't anything there, that takes creation. This is an act of creation on Jesus' part. It isn't a natural evolution of water to go from water to wine. You can go from liquid to ice, or from liquid to steam. But it doesn't naturally change from water to wine. It doesn't do that naturally. It's unnatural. It took a supernatural act to take that wine, or to take that water and make it wine. That was supernatural. In the same way, Jesus takes us as sinners and makes us saints. Now, in the same way, the sinner is still contained within the saint, but there's been something added, something supernatural. It's called what? Holy Spirit? Hello? Come on. People, are you awake? Think about this. Jesus created wine out of water. He didn't have to add the grape juice. He didn't have to add any yeast. He didn't have to do a bunch of stuff and wait a bunch of time. Just 1 minute it's water, The next second, it is wine. And it's the same thing with our lives. The 1 minute, the 1 hour, we're sinners. And yet, we accept Him as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes into us and we become saints. Now the sinner is still there. There's still a sinner inside of that saint. But they're no longer identified as a sinner. No, as you would not identify wine as water. And is wine water? No. But there is water in wine. It's just an element of it. But it's been totally changed. It is completely different than it was before, is it not? And that's what's going on here. This is it's an illustration of what Jesus is going to do for us. He is going to take us, the sinners, the world of sinners, and turn them into saints. I want you to notice the amount of wine that He made. A minimum of 120 gallons. People, that's a big party. That's a lot of wine. Especially if you water it down as you serve it, which was often the custom then. This is enough wine for a couple thousand people to party for a couple days. Probably wasn't that big a party. The point I'm trying to make there was the abundance. There was no shortage of that wine. Just as there is no shortage of God's grace that converts us from sinners to saints. That abundance is there. This is an act of transformation, which is creation. There's only one individual who can create. His name is God. Can you make something out of nothing? Any of you? Sometimes we try to make something out of nothing. Doesn't work. Now, students try to do that with homework. Here's my A paper. There's nothing on the paper. No, you can't make something out of nothing unless you're God. God created the universe out of nothing. He created wine out of just transforming water. Very simple. But yet there were things in that wine that just weren't there previously. And when He takes us from sinners to saints, there are now things in our lives that just wasn't there before. The first and foremost is the presence of the Holy Spirit, who lives and resides within us. So again, why water to wine? Well, to give faith and belief to His disciples, those then and those now. We are His disciples. If you follow Jesus Christ, disciple means nothing more than a follower or one who learns from Jesus. So if you're a learner, you want to learn from Jesus, you want to follow Jesus, then you're a disciple. See, it's to give faith and belief to His disciples, that is to you and me. And this is something only God can do. See, the enemy can pervert, and distort, but he can't make anything new. He can only take that which God meant for good and turn it for evil. But he makes nothing brand new. But yet when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we become something brand new. When God touches us, we are saved. So why water to wine? So that you can trust Jesus to transform you. As Jesus transformed the water to wine, He can transform you from sinner to saint. And He can transform your loved ones. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the lesson we have from this wine. First off, Lord, help us to recognize that what you give us for good can be turned to evil. And might we not get distracted or discouraged by the enemy's works in those areas, but instead might we use things in the way you directed us to, for your glory. Father, we ask right now that you would touch each one of us. And if there is anyone here who is still identified as a sinner, Lord Christ, might they receive you now and be transformed into a new creation, into a saint. Father, we thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus, so that he could create in us a new heart and give us new lives. We thank you for the illustration of this truth in this story of this wedding feast. So, Father, help us again to have faith and belief because we have seen you transform from sinner to saint. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.